round of applause to our worship team, including organist. Yeah. Awesome, awesome. All right, so I won't keep you today because I know everybody has reservations. And it's something I tell Sid, well, you don't want to preach on a Sunday where people going to eat because they're only going to hear half the message. So today I want to touch on mothers, though, because it is a special time. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 31. Book of Proverbs, chapter 31. If you have your phones, it is Proverbs 31. Starting on verse 25, and it reads as thus. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Father God, we thank you for this time of coming together. We ask that you open our hearts and open our minds that we may receive the message you have for us. Let us hear the words and reflect on our own lives so we can better see your purpose for us. Lord, I ask that you consecrate me now by the power of your grace so divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope and let my will be lost in thine. It's in the wonderful and matchless name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, that verse, those verses are very beautiful. It's a very loving way of describing a mother. Women. Characteristics that we would all want to see in our mothers and women. But we know there aren't perfect people. There aren't perfect women. And maybe they don't always live up to those things. But nonetheless, God didn't choose me to bring life into this world. He chose a woman. And for a very particular reason, God decided that women would be the vessel to which children, life, would come into this world. And so for a title today, if I had to have one, is God's chosen giver. Mothers, God's chosen givers. My sister Valerie, she works down in Birmingham, Alabama, and she has a company where as professionals are coming in to be hired at the hospitals or other professional endeavors, she is the person who the company hires to have this new employee show them the town. What are the fun things to do in Birmingham, right? What is there to do in this town? Why should I come and work here at this place? What are the benefits? And so she is the person that is really introducing the city to these people. I think every town probably would love to have someone who would be there to show them all the highlights. I was joking with her, like, well, maybe I could do that here. She's like, yeah, you only have three places to go, right? I'll take them to the oceanfront, town center, and waterside, right? That's what it is. But that's not true. We know there's a lot more beautiful things to do around here. But the idea of a kind of concierge, if you will, a person who introduces you to a new place, familiarizes you with the good and the bad of a situation. The definition of a concierge is a person who has charge of the entrance of a building and is often the owner's representative. God's concierge, a mother. She is the introduction that we have into this place called life. And she is God's representative into this realm of humanity. And so I want to look at three ways of the mothers, how God uses mothers in this capacity as giver. First, they are teachers. Secondly, preachers, believe it or not. And finally, believers. Teachers, preachers, and believers. Mother's Day was founded in 1914, just to give you a little background, by President Woodrow Wilson. One good thing he did. Okay, I guess nobody's into politics. Okay, that's fine. He did a lot of other boo-boos, if you want to look it up. But he did that, and it was a wonderful thing. And there's other presidents who have very deep and profound ideas about their mothers. George Washington says that all I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all of my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her. All his moral, intellectual, and physical education. Mothers are teachers. It's your first teacher. Things we learn that we can't necessarily communicate. We can't articulate what it is that all the things we learn from mom. But she's the first one that we learn from. Abraham Lincoln says, all that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life. I don't know if we realize it or not, but our mother's prayers carry a lot of weight. There were times I know in my life where I was off doing things, doing what I wanted to do. And I know it was a mother's prayer that helped keep me close in my walk with God. Mothers understand that we can't hold on to our kids forever. We have to let them go. But we never, ever stop praying for them. Because we understand the power of prayer. Ronald Reagan says, for my mother, I learned the value of prayer, how to have dreams and believe I could make them come true. There's something that is instilled in us, a hope, a belief that we have in ourselves, that mothers teach us. Every morning when Ava's going out to school, Kelly says to her, she says, listen to your teacher, be kind to others, and make good decisions. Now, he was only three, so I don't know how much is coming in, but how many of us remember those mantras that mom told us? Those things she said over and over and over again. And we rolled our eyes at over and over and over again. But as we got older, we remembered them, and we realized the wisdom behind those words. That there were, we do need to make good decisions. Margaret Mead, in her book, A Rising Lioness, says, the solution to adult problems tomorrow depends on large measure upon how our children grow up today. The impact of mothers shaping the future. What are we teaching them? Well, part of that teaching is a mother's testimony, right? Because we can say one thing, but if we do something else, they see that. Kids see the hypocrisy of saying something and doing something else. As much as we can say, do as I say, not as I do, They are watching, watching our movements, watching our decision making. And so our life becomes a living testimony. They're seeing how we're following Christ. They're seeing how we invite Christ into our decision making, how we handle them and deal with them. Is God present in that process? We become preachers. Our mothers make us go to church. Those Sundays we didn't want to go, Sundays we never really wanted to go. But we knew Mom was going to make us go to church. Why? Because she understood the importance of community, of the message, of the spiritual awakening that can happen just being in the body. Oh, we send, a comedian said, yeah, my wife sends the kids off to school so she can have a vacation. But Mom knows by sending them to church, they receive an instruction that prevents their future destruction. See, the things that we learn right here, right now, by Mom being diligent, by Mom being faithful, the things that we're learning right now, the kids are learning right now, when they're older, they'll remember. The sense of family. The sense of coming together and everyone is seemingly happy. Everything seems so good at church. It matters. We can't always take heaven home. The realities of life cause good and bad. There's a friction, there's a tension, conflict abounds. But how do we handle it? Oh, they're watching. A mother's touch, a nurturing, a soothing, an understanding. A good juxtaposition to maybe the heavy-handedness of a father. The balance family carries. Mothers are teachers. Deuteronomy says, only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them, teach your children and your children's children to remember the days that you stood before the Lord. And when you said, assemble the people before me to hear my words so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live. He's saying, teach your children your life lessons. Remember when you came to me in your moments of need, when you hit that point in life where you didn't know what to do any longer, and you turned to me and I showed up for you. Teach your children how to turn to me. This is a mother's example. The kindness, the holding. It teaches a child how to hold themselves, how to allow God to hold them. The comforting hold of a mother is God's way of saying, I am here to hold you as well. The nurturing, soothing talk of a mother is God's way of saying, I am here to listen to all of your problems. Not some, I hear everything that you have. All concerns, all needs. Why did God choose women to be the first teacher? To be his example, his first example of how to get through this thing called life. Is it the gentleness? Is it the caring nature of Mom? It says she watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. I don't know about you all, but My mom and my wife are doers. They're busy. Oh, maybe they're the only ones. I guess all you other moms are real chill, huh? You just kind of sit around the house doing nothing all day. There's a sense of getting things done. There's always something to be done. There's an organization. This whole idea, everybody's into multitasking now, right? It's like the new thing. Everybody has to multitask. That's why I say women have taken over completely. Because this is a female trait. It is such a strength. I can't multitask. I need to do one thing at a time. You ask me to do something else, I'm going to forget. Just ask my wife, because she has to remind me of things all the time. But they're doers. Idle hands is the devil's playground. Why did God make them the first? To give us the example. We should be busy. We should understand what God is doing in our lives through us. And not busy for busyness' sake, but what are they busy? What is mom busy doing? Taking care of everybody. Knowing my schedule, knowing my kids' schedule, knowing her friends' schedules. Understanding all of, taking it all into consideration. The thoughtfulness. Why did God make them the first? I had a pastor friend of mine tell me the other day, he said, Will, I just don't think you're very thoughtful. Kind of hurt my feeling a little bit, that one feeling I have. And I said, well, what do you mean? And I'll give you a little context of it. He said, well, you know, you're wondering why your wife is struggling with this. And I was talking about our kids and how we both have our struggles with them and dealing with them. And Eliana, as you know, has special needs, and there's a special assignment that comes along with having a child with special needs. And so I was explaining this with him, and I'm saying, well, you know, it's not so hard for me. I don't understand why she struggles with that. And that's where he said, well, Will, you're just not that thoughtful. He said, you don't understand what it means for a mother. She gave life to that child. She carried that child. She's been having expectations for that child the minute it came into her. And he was right. I didn't have that level of attachment. But see, God does that for a reason. He made the woman the giver of life, the first teacher. He caused that connection so that she could teach us, teach the child, the connection that he wants to have with us. The depth of that connection is not something to gloss over. It's something that's rooted in relationship. Rooted in our spirit. That's why we have that connection, and she transcends it, translates it, communicates how we should be with our Heavenly Father. That spiritual relationship. She's the greatest believer. He instills a faith in mothers to believe not just in themselves, but more so in the children. Thomas Edison, the man who invented the light bulb, when he went to school, they told him that he was too dumb to learn. Said the boy couldn't pay attention. They had to kick him out of school. Well, he went home and told Mama. Mama took him down to that school, and she said, "What do you mean? My boy is too dumb to learn. My child is brilliant. I carried him for 9 months. I know what's in this child." School said, "I'm sorry, ma'am. We can't take him." She said, "Fine. I'll teach him myself." I think God wrote the rest of that pretty well, didn't he? It's a mother's belief, the faith that she has, And no matter what this world says, she knows what her child can do. Why did God choose mothers? So that we would understand. And no matter what this world says, what God has put in us, nothing in this world can destroy. It's God's mission in us. That's the kind of faith he's drawing from us. The women in the Bible who displayed great leaps of faith. Maybe you know Jochebed. She had a son. His name was Moses. The world told her he had to die. But she said, I don't care what the world says. God has told me he's going to be a prince. He's going to make a difference in this world. A woman named Elizabeth. The world told her she can't have kids. She was too old. God said, I'm planting a seed in you. Her own husband didn't believe her. And God made him mute. Said, you can't speak until this son is born. John came into the world, baptizing in the name of the one to come. And then we all know Mary. Well, they said, you can't be pregnant. You've never even been with your husband. Mary said, well, the angel has told me. I carry the one who's coming to save the world. Mothers, God chose you. He chose me for a purpose, but not to give life. He chose you to be the first teachers. He understood what he was doing exact. You are blessed with that gift. I take it for granted. I pray you don't. Know the impact you have in shaping this world. The world to come, the world that is. For your heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, amen. As the band comes forward, if anyone is in any doubt, is any question that when you die, you're going to go to heaven or not, I invite you to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Understand who he is. Understand the giver of life sustains life. And your life can be renewed today if you accept Christ into your life. Maybe you're looking for a church home. I would invite you to join this station of Zion. Take roots and begin your journey in growing in your faith, in your walk with Christ. Is there a one? Is there a one? Please stand.
I've been set free, my God, my Savior. His word, my hope, secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my
Happy Mother's Day. As only children can do, they do it their special way. So I have no idea how this is going to turn out. They're going to sing you one little verse of a song you all know, and it's called Jesus Loves Me. So join in with them, and then they have made cards for their moms, and they're going to do that too. All right, here we go. Kyle, Riel, one, two, three.
Jesus loves me, yes I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little one, you belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes,
Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Yes, Jesus loves me.
For the Bible tells me so.
Happy Mother's Day.
Yeah.
I love you, Mommy. Yeah.
Happy Mother's Day.
Love to all moms.
Yeah. All right, let's give it up for the kids of Parkview.
As I told Kelly yesterday, I said, Happy Mother's Day, here's your gift. And I gave her the kids.